Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Matt Clement joining us here. Hello, Matt. How you doing? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, there we go. There we go. We had a bit of a...
Producer Matt and I were getting into free agency a little bit, but we ran over our introduction call.
I heard that. Okay. Were you talking about fantasy football as well? Who are you picking up this week? What's a big story?
No, we weren't talking baseball free agency. We were talking about
fantasy football.
Samuel situation.
Yeah. Okay.
If I helped them make the right call in the quarterback last week and stuff like that. So.
Okay. If somebody who is the hottest free agent pickup in fantasy football right now, who do we need to pick up on our team?
Well, I mean, you lost Debo Samuel, you're probably looking at some receiver, and there's not a whole lot out there right now at this point. You had a lot of guys go down. Like, I mean, most leagues, like if Alexander Mattison was out there because people were trimming their roster because Dalvin Cook went down, that's a really good pickup. That's like top end, but I can't imagine. I mean, you better win your league if somebody didn't have him already before the week started.
What about Chuba, right?
Yeah,
like,
there we are.
He'll pick up carries.
Could still be. I mean, again, that's another guy. Like you're in a very poor league if he's still out there.
The rest of the league sucks,
know,
and
right?
We're great,
Come
Matt.
On.
I'm sorry.
Well, then I mean, if you can get Chuba and Madison, that's great. They haven't been on the free. They never made the free agency market in most leagues. So yes, they're the best. They're the best too. But if you want to dive deeper, like. You know, like Juwan Jennings is the receiver that's probably going to replace Debo out in San Francisco. And, you know, like Josh Reynolds has had a pretty good Thanksgiving day. Seems to have a connection with Goff from back in the Rams days. And they're so thin. This is the time where people just start being out for the season. And you grab the replacements and hope they're – these bad teams hope they're behind the whole game and throwing the whole game.
Fantasy football expert Matt Clement joining us here. From fake sports to real sports, in all honesty – a work stoppage is probably about to happen in Major League Baseball. What do you think these guys are thinking, and what do you think the people at the top think in terms of an American public that's already, in a lot of regards, not real happy with the sport? How do they think that this is going to go over with the baseball-consuming populace?
You know, this work stoppage kind of snuck up on me last night. We were coming home from our scrimmage, and when my assistant coach had asked me about it, and my first response was, oh, they're not going to have a work stoppage. There's too much money at stake. And then I started, and I dove in, and you start hearing, kind of like the headlines kind of start sneaking up on us with all these, you're hearing free agency, and now all of a sudden the work stoppage is coming. And it makes sense, because to me, there's so many free agencies signing so early and so quick, more than normal. Some of these big names that would normally, like a Javi Baez, is a guy that would have held out the whole way till like January to get the, you know, and get a lot more money than he got, and different things like that, and it all is kind of making sense. And you know, I think one of the things that the Scherzer signing, when the first thing that came up I saw on the Scherzer signing, and I can't remember the other team, but the Pirates, you know, because it was the Pirates, is one of them, is he's making more this year than the whole Pirates roster, and there's another one or two teams that were in the same boat, and I think that probably didn't help this work stoppage, because some of these teams are going to basically cry foul and say, hey, if they're signing one guy to bring to their team that's more than our whole payroll right now, and even if we're being cheap, it's still the perspective of it is a crazy perspective. That probably is adding some, I guess, dissent or whatever the words you want to use to this whole agreement right now.
What is the actual concrete impact? Because we're in the middle of the off season, right? And it's not like guys are living in, most of them aren't living in the city where they play. You know, they're living in Arizona or Florida or someplace where warm where they can work out. But are they going to miss anything? Like, let's say their lockout starts at 12 midnight tonight, 12:01, whatever it is. Will players miss anything from the teams that they're currently working for the next, I don't know, month or so? Or is it just business as usual?
Well, I mean, I feel like I went through a work stoppage in 94, 95, but I was in the middle of my second year in the minor leagues when that happened. So it really didn't affect me other than the fact that I wasn't going to go cross the line and be a replacement player. So I never lived it as a major leaguer. I never got to this point where it actually happened. And I feel like it really is business as usual for most things. No, the probably the biggest one are the guys that don't have homes right now, or guys that are going to get traded, because that can't happen during it. Trades can only happen with minor leaguers. Players can't get traded, and you're in a situation where these free agents can't sign. And again, that's the big to me. That's why some of these free agents have signed. I think you're going to get a handful more today of the big names that just say, you know, I know Scherzer was adamant about it. Like, I want to get my home before this all happens, so I know what's going on. And you know, if you think about it, you're a big free agent, you're moving to a new place, and you have to wait. This might go into, like, you know, realistically into spring training, February, March, and then you're trying to get to the spring training place. You're trying to get a home. You're trying to get your family set up. It can be an impact that way. As far as with the team, I don't know how many people are working out, like you said, living in the city and working out at the facility. But these guys, I mean, there's so many, you know, labs, pitching labs and hitting labs and stuff around them. I think a lot of these guys have more than enough access to getting themselves ready for spring training and everything else. And really the big impact would be, you know, no free agents can sign, no trades can happen, but – And really, the big impact would happen when spring training would hit.
Everybody's got a Rapsodo in their garage at this point, right?
Yeah, Rapsodo's almost like it's almost dated now, and they're on the new stuff, new and better than Rapsodo at this point.
Matt Clement joining us here, Fan Morning Show. In a different vein, you brought up minor leaguers, and you're distant from it in terms of a player, but you deal with a lot of guys that are minor leaguers or guys that are prospects, whatever. How enlightening is it to see that the housing is going to be picked up and that they're going to make a bigger push to make sure that these guys are taken care of? Were there guys that did you hear stories of guys that said, I just can't do it anymore. I can't afford to be a minor leaguer. I've just got to get out.
Well, I mean, I think that what happens is this. It's not necessarily, I can't do it anymore. I got to get out. You grow. And as you get older and you don't make it and you don't have that paycheck that comes in for a year or 2 years, or, you know, and you're this guy that's grinding away, your potential for making it gets smaller too at the same time, if that makes sense. You're not just going, you're not grinding away to be a big leaguer, and you're in your third year, fourth year, fifth year. Those are the guys that aren't pulling out. It's the guys that are trying to hang out for like 8-9 years that have never made it there, that it becomes almost unreasonable to do. Now, this is awesome what they're doing. I mean, and as much, it makes sense, as much money that is, you know, that baseball produces and revenue sharing and all this other stuff that's going on, you know, what a great, this is how it should be done. And I give everybody credit who's involved. I think the current players are probably just as much involved as everybody else in pushing this, as the owners doing it and everything else. It's what should be done. And it's your pipeline to getting the guys in the big leagues to take care of them and help them and give them some of the amenities that'll make them more successful and able to, you know, ascend up the ladder.
You can call us, text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminding you to text responsibly. Former major league pitcher Matt Clement with us every Wednesday at 7:00. Rob Manfred made a point yesterday to say that, hey, this isn't going to be like when the lockout starts, we're going to start missing games. This isn't the same as a labor stoppage where games are impacted. But I look at the impact that happens before a single game is lost from the schedule, Matt. At what point does this start to impact guys getting ready for the season? Does this have to go out beyond January, like when guys start to get out to their training facilities in Arizona and Florida and say early to mid-February?
I think, but I also think it's slight. I really do. I think that everybody has their way of getting ready. and like you said, they have their Rapsodo in their garage, and they have a lot of these guys have former hitting coaches that they can, you know, they can contact that might not be their current hitting coach or somebody that's impacted them along the way that maybe isn't part of what they're doing right now, and just different people they have relationships with. And I feel like these guys are going to be ready regardless. I think when you really start worried about missing days of spring training, that's the impact. There's a slight impact because guys like to get down there in January and February and do different things. But I don't think the guys that get down there in January and February are like this major advantage over the guys that come when they're supposed to come either. Because I think in today's, these guys will figure it out. They're professionals. They're going to be prepared. They'll be meeting somewhere in Florida, you know, IMG Academy and using one of their fields or whatever the case may be. And just different concentrated groups of guys will get together and make sure that they're ready along the way. Will it affect some slightly? Yes, I think so. But I don't think it's – the big impact is if they start missing days.
All right, now the important stuff. Did the Turk come yet? Did you have to cut down on your basketball team? And did it? How did this work?
Well, we had our first scrimmage last night.
Who'd you scrimmage?
We scrimmaged Franklin Regional.
Okay.
Did you let them put six guys on the floor too?
Right. How did that work?
Well, we talked about different defenses at the beginning. I wanted to see if I could try to sneak the six man in on this officiating crew, but we decided not against it last night. Went well. Both teams had a good scrimmage, and it was a scrimmage. You know, a lot of guys getting minutes from both teams and just trying to figure things out. They were in a similar position as me, where he had a lot of fall sport guys and just trying to get everybody organized. So it was good to get back on the court. We actually unfortunately had our trim down day, and we had to trim down a few people.
This is what I need to talk to you about. So do you post like a something at the office when they get there off the school bus? Do you text? What is the? I need to know the process of hammering someone's feelings, like how to, in dreams and hopes. How do you do that as a coach?
Well, when I was going through, that was the old list got thrown up when you got to school.
It was never in jeopardy that Matt Clement's name wasn't going to be on the list of making the team. But so, how do you do it now?
How do I do it?
Yes.
I'll give you my whole evolution of this process, and I haven't had to use it very often. When I first got the job, I used to call every person in individually, make it or not make it, and I felt like during that process, more often than not, the guys that didn't make it, even some of the guys that did make it, were just squeamish in that meeting with five coaches and didn't want to talk about not making the team and different things of that nature. So as the time went on, and it was an impossible process because, like you said, there are 18, 20 of those guys that you know are making a team, and then it comes down to what's going on with the other guys. So the process I use, and this might not be good, bad, whatever the case may be, is at the end of practice, we all go back and meet, make sure we have everything right, read the names of the people that made the team off and you know, as a group, and the ones that didn't, I always, my staff and I stick around for as long as needed, at least 15 minutes, whether they want to or not. And if they want to come talk to us about it or approach us or whatever the case may be about why they didn't make it, what they need to do, what happened, then we sit there and meet with each and one of them.
So you read the names off in front of everybody who made it?
Yeah, we read the names.
Ruthless! Ruthless, this guy.
I don't know a better way to do it, because I feel like it doesn't give them the chance to – it gives them the chance if they want to. You know, everybody's in the same gym and everybody's taking off at the same time, so it gives them the chance to if they want to ask, because there are people that really want to know what's going on at the end of it.
Wow. Okay.
It's kind of a stand-up move, really, when you put it in those, you know, that perspective. Kid can come up to you right then and there and say, "Hey, coach, what happened?" And you can explain it to him.
I'm not changing my mind, but here's what happened.
Yeah,
you
no,
sucked.
To me. Because I think of what I started to feel over the years is there's some kids that do not want to talk about it. They don't want any parts of it. Like, and there's some kids that really want to know. And some kids are shaken emotionally. And, of course, that crushes me at that point, because that's why I try not to have to cut people, because I just don't – it's just not worth it. And I'd keep as many as I can, but we only have a certain amount of uniforms. And fortunately, I have a lot of people that are interested in playing Butler basketball right now, which is kind of cool.
Oh, there he is. There he's getting his sales pitch. He sounds like Coach K. All right. Thank you, Matt. We appreciate it. We'll chat next week. Good stuff.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
I'll
Matt.
See you. Oh, man. There's no good way to do that. There is. There's no good way to deliver bad news.
No. No, there really isn't.
Geez, so they all go in a gym, and he reads off the varsity and the JV team and who made it and who didn't. Yeesh.
I mean,
in front of everybody.
Like I said, it is kind of a stand-up
maneuver. I'm warming to it.
In that, if that kid has a problem with it, if he really wants to know, that's an opportunity for that kid to show some guts and walk up to Matt and be like, "Coach, what happened? How come?" And Matt could be like, "Listen. We got to talk."
You know how we did it at school? You walked in and there was a letter with names typed on the office window.
Yeah.
So the whole school could see it.
Taped to the wall, yeah.
So this is just consolidated to the team. Wow. All right, Breakfast Bites coming up next.
It's time for Breakfast Bites, a tasty soundbite to start your day with a Fan Morning Show.
We talked earlier about all the former Steelers that are upset about the way the Steelers are playing. You know, the Arthur Motes, Ryan Clarks, Bryant McFadden's, Chris Hoke's of the world. Well, you can go back a little farther and find some other former Steelers who are equally annoyed at the way they played against the Bengals and as of late.
I don't even know why I'm writing this week's one man's opinion, because I saw the same game you saw, and I have the same reaction you do. The Steelers suck. What I can't understand is why. It's not that losing bothers me as much as a lack of pride or self-esteem. How do you give up 82 points in the last two games? How do you, in the words of Mike Tomlin, get beat up front on both sides of the ball? Is it a mindset? Big Ben, after the game, said, "It is what it is. It happens sometimes. We need to play better." My reaction, no shit. So why don't you play better? I don't want to hear about injuries. We got beat even when everyone was healthy. I don't want to hear about anything, because actions speak louder than words. And at this stage of the game, those actions spell out loser. It's a disaster. But of course, this is only one man's opinion.
I love how at the end, it's almost like Paul Harvey.
I know.
And that's
If I told you that was not a player, that was just a news commentator, you'd believe it.
Yeah,
that's how well it's delivered.
Delivery is fantastic.
Rocky. That's Rocky's just so great.
One man's opinion.
Oh, man.
I love it.
I like seeing Rocky. I graduated with his son, so you'd see Rocky around just as like regular guy Rocky, you know? And, you know, we've had him on the show. We've had him in person.
He's phenomenal.
He's just regular guy Rocky that happens to be a war hero and played for the Steelers. You know?
You're like, "Hey, you're Rocky Blyer." And he's like,
"No s***. So why don't you?"
I know. Oh, man. It was a well-formulated opinion. And I think he holds the opinion of a lot of people, especially old school Steeler guys. Like, stop talking about it and just do it.
Stop being so damn soft and telling us how you're too soft and you're embarrassed and you're ashamed and all that, and go out and play harder.
The Steelers suck. You play better.
Just play better. Oh,
no
that one, that goes down as the best.
Rafe and Apollo at the top of the hour, Steelers insider from the Post-Gazette, to talk about some of those things Mike Tomlin had to say yesterday. Is a certain thing that's going to happen later tonight, is it appointment viewing for you? Will you stay up to watch this, especially if you're an early riser? And we're down to arguing about whether one thing is the worst or just one of the worst. A reaction to something that was said on our show yesterday morning. That's next right here.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ray Fittipaldo, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, so less than 30 minutes from now, Doug Whaley in studio for the entire 9 o'clock hour. Plenty to talk to Doug about, not just Steelers-wise, but coaching-wise. As a football executive, he's got some really good insight on what these coaching searches can be like at the college level and how it can filter out, and some questions about whether it may start to affect the NFL a little bit more going into the future. But as far as NFL effects go, our friend Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focus was on the show yesterday, and he said the biggest effect on the Steelers right now is one guy at one position in particular.
I think the issue is when you start losing games, and frankly, there's one obvious reason why, but you can't really say it if you're a player, you start to make up these excuses and come up with these other things and try to grasp at straws to figure out what's wrong. The answer is the quarterback. There's no other answer to it. Mike Tomlin is fine. The answer is you have the worst starting quarterback in football, and you can't say that out loud.
Now, a lot of people got mad that Brad gave his opinion that Ben is the worst starting quarterback in football. According to the PFF rankings, he is, I believe, 34th out of 36 qualified quarterbacks that they've ranked ahead of only Mike White and Zach Wilson. You go by quarterback rating, he's somewhere in the 20s, yada, yada, yada. There's different ways to measure these things. But I appreciate Brad's opinion based on PFF's analysis, and it's why we have him on every week. But the argument started on Twitter, and in going back and forth with people, a lot of people say, well, listen, that's clearly hyperbole. He's not the worst quarterback in the league. And the one response that got me was this one from someone on Twitter. I'm glad the debate now is to if Ben is the worst quarterback in the league or merely, quote, one of the worst. We have markedly lowered our expectations. We're in 1980s talk radio territory arguing about Todd Blackledge and Bubby Bristol.
Well, yes. The argument not too long ago was when I see national things and I see lists, especially the lists, people love lists. Man, oh gosh, they jump right out at you. You don't have to read a whole lot. You just see a list. When I see a list, why is Ben not mentioned as elite? He's right. Getting screwed.
We
right?
used to get mad that he wasn't mentioned alongside Brady and Manning, right?
Right, right. And that has fallen really quickly. Now, if Spielberger and the people at Pro Football Focus, some of the things they do I like, some of the things they do I don't like, but if they are using the same baseline and same sample size and same body of work for everybody that they're grading and they're consistent with it, then it's something that I'll at least be an audience for.
Sure.
Okay? And that's kind of where I am with it. So if you use that, if you use any metric, and then if you just use your eyes, Ben Roethlisberger has fallen off a ton. But again, where are we in terms of a solution? We're nowhere if the organization doesn't want to have a solution.
Well, yeah, it comes back to the identity question that we started the show with. The identity right now is whatever a 39-year-old Ben Roethlisberger looks like. But that's the point we've reached. We're at the point where we're arguing about just how bad Ben is, or just how bad Devin Bush is, or just how bad the defense. You know, it's not about
he's bad, but you can't say he's worse than what he really is.
Right.
Or it's
nobody can pick on my
bad.
Little brother but me.
Right.
That
it's
kind
degrees
of
bad.
Yeah. And it's to go back to the point you made a moment ago about how some people used to get annoyed that Ben wasn't talked about with the elite quarterbacks in the league. We used to have arguments about how good guys were, right?
Yeah.
Oh, is AB the best receiver in the league? Yeah, I mean, look at this, look at that. He's better than Julio, sure. Is Le'Veon Bell the best all-around running back in the league? Well, yeah, look, he could do this. He can line up like a receiver in the slot. Is Ben the best quarterback in the league? I don't know. He just put up 500 yards in back-to-back games.
11-0.
Yeah.
Should he be the MVP?
Yes. That was a year ago.
Right.
A year ago we were having that conversation. Very legitimate conversation.
This time.
And not just here in Pittsburgh. People outside of Pittsburgh were having that conversation. And this is how quickly things have fallen off to where we're now arguing about whether he's really as bad as Jacoby Brissett and Zach Wilson and Mike White. I mean, that I think is indicative as anything in hitching your wagon to one guy and it totally falling on its face. Not just because of him, there's a lot of extenuating circumstances.
What bothers me, though. But stop right there, because what bothers me. People will invariably text or write or whatever, say, the Steelers got a lot of problems. The quarterback is the least number. Why are you talking about the quarterback when there's all these problems? Okay, if your alternator doesn't work and your engine doesn't work, it's okay to fix both of them. And it's okay to worry about both of them. And for me, the quarterback, though, is the one that is the hub where other things fan out from a lot.
Everything that's going wrong with this team spokes off of the main decision, like we talked about at the top of the show, to hitch their wagon to Ben for another year. The defense not being deep enough beyond the first, you know, three or four top players on it. The offensive line not being rebuilt properly over the last couple of years.
I've decided through all of this that there are just two firm camps, and you're never going to change people's thoughts. Ben is never a problem. He's never going to be a problem. How dare you say anything? It's sacrilegious to say anything about him. Or it's okay to realize that he once was great and he's not great anymore. And there's no gray area there. And some people just aren't going to budge. But the truth of the matter is the former camp is just built on nostalgia and not reality.
Right, and it's built on the little glints of it, the little glimpses that we get every once in a while, right? Like the fourth quarter against the Chargers or last year's fourth quarter against the Colts. You know, you get those every once in a while and you go, oh, see, the old Cowboys still in there. But as I remember saying it way back in July and August when we talked about this, it's not in there often enough. It's just not.
It's the most important position in sports, and they're not good at it. So this morning and go, that's a problem? How don't you just come to the realization? And look, I'm not trying to sway anybody to my opinion. I'm just giving you mine. If I look at it and I say it's the most important position in sports, and a lot of people say, well, they're subpar in that position, how doesn't the reality hit you that they're doing something wrong with it, and they did do something wrong with it when they had a decision and an opportunity to change it?
And how do you not take a step back and say, and understand that when you're arguing that he's not literally the worst starting quarterback in the league, oh, well, he's the 22nd or 23rd best starting quarterback in the league. At that point, you should take a step back and understand, no. That's not what this is not what this is supposed to be about.
And I'll say it for the 9 millionth time. People say, well, the line sucks. You're right. The line sucks. The line isn't good. But do you know how you can offset that a little bit? You're not going to make the Super Bowl. You're not going to have a ton of success. But you can maybe squeeze out a win or at least be in some more games. You roll the pocket, you move the pocket, and you have a quarterback that can use his feet a little bit to throw on the run. You now have an offensive line that stinks, but you also have an immobile quarterback. You have nothing going for you. You can, again, offset that by a quarterback that can go ahead and move. Everything is a straight drop. Nothing is on the run. And Ben doesn't get outside of the tackles.
And the few times that they do move him a little bit, we've seen it work really well, I think. You know, the play actions, the boots, the little waggles. It happens maybe once or twice a week, if that. But when we do see it, it seems to work. It just seems they're not all that interested
in doing
it. But
again, now it comes back to the same conversation we're having, is whose shoulder it falls on. And I've now really warmed to, I can't blame Ben, because he's not going to say no when he makes a phone call and says, I want to play more football. I can't blame Mike Tomlin, because he looks around and he goes, well, I'm not really in power here. And also, Mason Rudolph, come on. The guy got hit with his own football helmet and he stinks. And they brought in some other guy from Washington that can't stop going to strip clubs. That Kevin Colbert, is he the general manager? Well, same thing. He's better than Mason Rudolph, and I can't really get anybody to come here. And what's going to happen? And man, they dragged their feet. I couldn't draft anybody. So what was I going to do? There's a percentage that lays on everybody, but it's really coming back to Art, who needed to say, he had no problem saying we need to run the football more. Why then didn't he have a problem saying we got to go, even if we have the same record, we got to go in a different direction at quarterback if we're ever going to recharge this organization?
Yeah.
You know, Art, it just the more and more that they go on through this season, and you knew it was going to go down like this, I just can't believe the lack of spine that Art II has. I can't believe it relative to all the other men in his family that they've had.
There was no plan in place, and he didn't sit down and tell them to develop a plan or even help them develop a plan. And I think Mike Tomlin is very much involved in a lot of those plans. I understand what you're saying, though. It trickles up. It bubbles up to Colbert and beyond Kevin Colbert to Art Rooney as well, that they're in this position. Is something that's going to happen tonight, do you consider it appointment viewing? Is it still something that you'll stay up a little later tonight just to see it? And does that exist in this one realm with this one player anymore? Yeah, Colony's off today. Don't worry, he'll be back tomorrow. He told me Linda's going to force him to do yard work today, so undoubtedly he'll be a bit cranky about it. But he gets to spend time with Linda, and that makes him happy. We get to spend time with Doug Whaley, entire 9 o'clock hour, former Bills GM Doug Whaley in studio, another Wednesday with Whaley. Ray Fittipaldo in about 12 minutes or so. Now, our schedules are unusual, so it's tough for us to sometimes stay up for late games, but this is one that I will want to stay up for. Crosby, McDavid, Pens, Oilers in Edmonton. It's big enough that it's a national game, just their second national game, I think, of the season after the opener in Tampa. It's on TNT. So is this still, for the average everyday sports fan, I'll strip Penguins fan. Penguins fans are obviously going to stay up and watch their team, right? But for the average everyday sports fan, is Crosby McDavid appointment viewing?
Penguin fan or hockey fan or sports fan?
Penguin fan and hockey fan, they're watching this. Like, yes. I think we just, those two are over here, right? They're looking at
you say sports fan?
Average everyday sports fan.
In Pittsburgh? Or just sports
fan? Just in general.
Like, if I live in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, or Dallas, Texas, and these two are playing against each other,
yes.
And I'm a sports fan?
Yes. Let's put it in those terms.
No.
No?
No, not the NHL. No. No.
Even though now, it's regarded as like the face, one of the face, veteran faces of the league, like Crosby or Ovechkin, right? And one of the young up and comers.
A regular season hockey game, the 1st of December? I mean, look, I like hockey, but I think we have a false sense of how important it is to many Americans because we live in a city where it's important. So, like a sports fan, I think that a sports fan would rather watch a Suns game like last night.
The Golden State Phoenix Suns mm-hmm. game was all they talked about on SportsCenter for half of the show. Right?
They won 17 in a row or something.
It was a great game. I watched part of the first half, you could feel though that it was quote unquote appointment viewing. You scroll through social media throughout the day. Everybody's talking about Golden State Phoenix. And it's not just because I don't follow a ton of NBA accounts or anything like that.
Right, right.
It was just being talked about. You couldn't get away from it.
Right. Right. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if – I don't think anyway. Now, there will be some, like I said, because hockey fans and Penguin fans
are all in on that as a bad thing. Like, people have this badge of honor that they feel like they need to wear and that they feel like they have to try to impart on others. Like, mm-hmm. why aren't you into hockey? It's okay. Everybody loves football, okay? Everybody in the country loves football. It owns Sunday. It is its own sort of – it's the best reality series and reality show that we have in this country. People are addicted and hooked to it. Other than that, all the other sports to me are kind of you like them or you don't,
right.
And it's not a big thing. Like, it's all right. It's okay. You don't have everybody doesn't have to like it.
That's and, fair.
You know what I mean?
I'm not telling people what to like.
Right? No, not you. But I'm saying like there are a lot of hockey fans that get in basketball fans or baseball fans that sort of get bent out of shape.
If
what
you
do
don't
you mean?
Like their game,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand.
What do you mean?
That.
We're getting. Oh, it's not the number one highlight on SportsCenter. Well, okay. That's okay. It's okay for you to like it.
What I do think will be interesting, and Turner does a great job with their coverage. I love their intermissions, their pre and post game. Everybody on the panel is good, I think. It will be interesting to see what the, you know, I mentioned when you're sitting around in the afternoon around dinner time watching SportsCenter, since ESPN is now an NHL partner, how much they'll play this game up, if at all. You know what I mean? Like, will they spend any more than 5 minutes talking about, oh, Crosby McDavid playing tonight in Edmonton? So I saw a story this morning.
Tell me.
Please try to help me make sense out of this, okay? It's in the New York Post this morning. Woman fakes elaborate wedding in sad attempt to get ex to text her. A woman faked a wedding photo shoot and posted the photos.
With a groom?
Yep, with a groom, with an officiant, with everything. Posted the photos to Instagram in an attempt to get her ex-boyfriend to notice and then text her. And she looks back on this now a few years later, sort of mocking herself on TikTok. She put a video on TikTok.
Wait a minute. Is this an American woman?
Yes.
Okay. Also, what did the people who were the fake groomsmen in bra and
they didn't? She didn't go that far. It was just her, the dude, and the, like I said, officiant.
Okay. What about the man who was the fake
groom?
Groom. What did he think his role in this was?
I think he knew he was fake groom for photo shoot. Okay. I don't know if he knew it was in an attempt to get back with the ex or get in touch with the ex. My point here is, what did she think was going to happen?
Did she think the guy was going to say, hey, you're married, now I want to sleep with you, or what?
Or, yeah, hey.
I want you back?
Annulment, I need you back in my life. And some of the responses on TikTok have been, oh yeah, I tried this once too. It actually worked for me. My ex messaged me. And
when she said she was married, not a full shoot and everything like that, and not a full photo shoot, just saying I was married.
Yes. People have said, oh, I posted engagement photos on Instagram, and my ex all of a sudden decided they wanted me back. What are we doing?
This is why I might want to become a Belgian monk and just make beer and hang out and not bother with anybody. I mean, seriously. The fact that this... We can't call weirdos weirdo anymore. That's the biggest problem with society.
Everybody
to a T, to a man, to a person, the whole world should say, lady, you're freaking bonkers, and there should be no outliers. There shouldn't be one person on her side in all of this big spinning sphere. There shouldn't be one person. The fact that even one person is on her team makes us all wacky. Wacky, this whole world.
I'll let the whack balls stay in their corner, and I'll just sit over here and think
like
what
everybody
I think about
should him. Say, lady, come on, you've got to be committed. This isn't good. But so she has a team that's this, like this. It's okay. I feel you.
I don't know
the
if
fact
it,
that
if
she has
a,
like team.
If,
this is okay. That's what's wrong with society.
I don't know if it's team. This is okay. It's team. I was that crazy.
Did they
once
interview
too.
The guy who was the jilted or jaded?
Oh, I don't know. Somebody might now. The New York Post did not. They just kind of
what she look like?
Chronicled.
Normal?
Yeah, she's attractive.
Is she still single?
That I don't know.
I'll give you a guess.
Probably.
Yes, I'm guessing probably.
If not, she thinks she's dating six different dudes that she's corresponding with on Instagram.
Here's the crazier part of this world: is that when this story gets out, now there'll be a market for her.
She'll end up on The Bachelorette.
Somebody will be like, you know, I have a fetish for that.
She'll be on TV.
Oh, for sure. She'll make a gazillion. Man, weirdos.
Just the headline itself, though, is what got me. Woman fakes elaborate wedding in sad attempt to get ex
to text
her. We
used to just be worried with those first two words. Woman fakes. And then that'd be it. That'd be the biggest problem that men would have.
Yes.
Now it's this. You know what? Again, monk is the way to go.
You're probably right.
Belgian monk, you sit, you make beer, Trappist monk or whatever the hell they're called.
Yeah.
That's what I want
to
be.
You have to get the funny haircut to be one of those guys?
I could have that. If I try to grow my hair out, I have that. I have it. I don't have to get the haircut. It grows like
just
that
let it grow
for me
out.
At this point
naturally.
In my life.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.